Yeah, I'll take an extra large mocha venti half calf with 3 squirts of milk, followed by 5 sugars and maybe some low calorie sweetener.
Very good, sir. What would you have?
Coffee.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, did you hear about the new Star Citizen game coming out?
Not much about it, no.
It's like a new space sim. It's going to be like fully Oculus Rift supported, so it's like the future of VR.
Cool.
Oculus Rift is nothing. Check me out. Check me out, guys.
What are you wearing?
Well, this is my own fully immersive system that I've created myself with existing technology. You take your Oculus Rift and I will have this.
Is that a power glove?
Yes, it's 2 power gloves, actually. You know, making them fit both hands is a little hard, but a little bit of work, it can be done. And this is a laser scope, and this is the U-Force. This tracks my motion in the air.
Where'd you find one of those?
Here and there, mostly in dumpsters. People really want to get rid of this stuff, but you get it together. This is a motion capture suit. These are motion tracking balls that are all over me.
You know, the U-Force never worked right in the first place, huh?
It wasn't engineered properly. I got it working.
Also, the NES only has 2 ports, and you got like 6 things going on.
What's an NES? Hello, and welcome to another episode of Epic Gaming Peripherals. They've gotten a bad rap in the past, mostly due to the plethora of terrible gaming peripherals in the late 80s and early 90s. Complaints of peripherals being badly made, unusable, difficult to use. Well, they've recently given way to a more controversial problem, such as privacy invasion. Today on the show, we're talking about gaming peripherals. Peripherals.
Yes, you did.
Peripherals? We're talking about gaming peripherals.
Your accuracy accessories on the mic is just astounding.
I know. It's today. It's a good day. With me here to talk about gaming peripherals is Andy.
Hello.
And Richard.
Hey, guys.
Gaming peripherals. I think we're going to take our first segment. We're going to talk about our favorite. We're going to take our second segment. We're going to talk about all the crazy, weird, unusable peripherals that have hit the market over the years. We're not going to be able to get them all because I think there's just too many of them.
There's a couple.
And in the third segment, we'll take a look ahead at some of the upcoming awesomeness that is to be had. I think there might be a few that might span because there's some good and bad ones. There's some out there that are good and bad.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay. Who wants to start us off with a favorite? Oh, hey, I think there are people out there grabbing onto that little slider bar at the bottom and fast-forwarding 20 minutes in to listen to the bad ones.
Stop it.
Yeah, don't do that. And if you're listening to the radio, you can't do that.
No.
Don't touch that dial.
If you're listening to the radio, that's called a tuner dial, and it doesn't do that.
That's not going
to
work.
Use the other one. It's the volume. Much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And before there's any kind of flame meal or whatever else... Yes, I remember that the NES actually had a multi-tap system, so you can plug in 4 things.
Are you picking apart our sketch?
I'm picking apart my own thing I said.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about the sketches.
I'm just saying.
No, they're not real.
Okay.
That guy, I'm sure he's fine.
He's fine, yes.
Yeah, he's got his motion capture balls, you know.
All right, moving on.
Moving on, please.
I'll start. I have to say my favorite... And I'm going to go with the classic keyboard-mouse combo.
Really? Oh, so you're going to call the keyboard and mouse gaming peripherals.
I will.
Risky.
Yes, I'm an old-school FPS keyboard-mouse
player. You're a WASD player?
WASD, yeah, WSAD. Actually, I predate WSAD, and I used to game with the arrow keys.
Arrow keys, and control, and alt.
I'm going to do you one better. I used to game with the arrow keys back when there was only... 2 arrow keys.
Whoa.
Left and right. It was shift and the left arrow key to go left.
You realize that you just had a crappy computer, right?
No, I had a Commodore 64. The Commodore 64, the arrow keys existed on 2 keys. So the up and down were on 1 key and the left and right were on the other, and you had to use the shift key to go between them.
Ooh.
And I had them memorized. I could actually work them pretty good.
Fancy.
Mm-hmm. Richard?
All right, my turn, I guess.
Yeah,
okay.
Try.
Well, let's just go with the Zapper. The old NES Zapper. Love that thing. Duck Hunt so many times. Hogan's Alley. Those are the only two games I can remember owning that actually used it.
Did you ever get up in front of the screen?
Everybody cheated. Yeah, I don't care who you are. Everybody cheated at some point in time.
There was all kinds of myths around that, too. If you pointed at a candle, no matter how many times you pulled the trigger, you'd always hit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they were pretty basic the way they worked. They had a little lens at the end, mm-hmm. right? And whenever you pulled the trigger, it would flash the screen, and it would put a square, a white square, wherever the duck was. And everything else was black. So for that split second, it would just measure the light.
Yeah, and I think that's what kind of gets a lot of people is that it's the gun that records where you hit and not the TV.
Yes.
So by pointing it at the candle, whenever you hit the trigger, there was always a light coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd always hit.
Yep.
Light bulbs work the same way.
I never got that working quite right. Well, it's not just light because it only works on CRT television. It doesn't work on the newer...
No.
It's infrared, isn't it, or something?
It's quite possibly infrared. I really don't know. But if candles do work on it, and I've never tried that, then yeah, it would probably be infrared.
And we have to say that when we say a candle, we mean a candle in front of it, not a candle like on it. You're not setting the front on fire. It's not a birthday candle hanging at the end.
Yes, we here at Epic do not condone setting things on fire,
unless you film it and send us the video. In which case, we still take no responsibility.
Please don't do this. We also don't condone listening to Andy.
No.
So,
Hey, I'm a great influence on people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have a lot of team, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Superseding the Zapper, I think it was the Super Nintendo or the N64 had that shoulder-mounted...
The Super Scope.
The Super Scope, right.
I was SNES, yeah.
And it worked surprisingly well.
It wasn't that bad. It was a bazooka.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people hated it. It wasn't as cool as they put on in the commercials, because the commercials, they had a guy jumping behind couches and
couldn't
stuff.
Couldn't you
like that.
Like collapse it into different types of weapons, too?
Two.
Yeah. There was like a over-the-shoulder thing and then like a rifle type.
A bazooka thing. And a rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never played with it as a rifle, only as a bazooka.
Because it was cooler.
It's a bazooka.
Yeah, it's a bazooka.
Like, why wouldn't you?
And you know, the accuracy wasn't even that good as a bazooka, so... Now,
luckily, the sensor was about three times the size of a Zapper.
Oh, I kind of catch myself here. I almost wanted to go into the terrible spinoffs. There's a lot.
Not yet.
No, you got to wait till later when we talk about the good stuff.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, moving on then. I'm going to throw in the Wiimote.
The Wiimote was a
innovation.
It's an innovation. Yeah, and that's
and then copied.
That's something about Nintendo. Nintendo tends to innovate. More so, I think, than the other gaming
they've always been about accessories consoles. And add-ons. Always, yeah. always have been. It's like, oh, look, the N64, there happens to be a open port on the front of it that we might make a memory module expansion for it at some point in time, coincidentally.
Well, they also had the first Rumble Pack.
They did.
That they did.
And there was like an awesome commercial that went away with it, that went with it.
Yeah, because it was Star Fox.
Well, yeah, was it Star Fox?
It was Star Fox 64. It was bundled with it.
And they were, we'll see if we can try to put it in the show notes.
Well, Rumble Pack, I guess, yeah. That's one, too. That was actually really, really cool.
Yeah, it was a wicked commercial.
I'm going to make a note here to try to find the Rumble Pack commercial and put it on our
It show involved, notes. I think, like, interrogation of one of the Nintendo employees.
Yes.
And he finally says he's going to talk. And
this is the Rumble Pack.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It was hilarious.
Hmm.
He may have been abducted by other companies.
Yeah. So then other companies tend to copy that stuff. Like the multi-button controllers with like the toggle switches on the top. That was the N64.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the sensor with the accelerometers. That was the Wii. And that seems to be standard and everything. And it's funny now that if you don't have that in your console or your controllers, people think... You know that that's just gonna suck. This they seem to forget the days before any sort of accelerometer sensors or rumble packs or cool features in your controller.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when you used to have to sit within like 5 feet of your TV because
there were cords. There was cables on them.
Yeah.
Back in my day, we had cables and we loved it.
And cartridges.
We're blowing the end of that cartridge.
And our
in the same way. Which actually ruined the games. That didn't actually do anything to help them out.
It really didn't hurt them too much either, because,
Rust. Wolfram Spit.
Well, a little bit of... Really? Wow, you must have been a drooly kid.
No, it's... Well, not personally. I'm saying look it up.
Okay.
Research things. Do it.
We don't do that on this show.
What research? No.
I'd like to mention two gaming peripherals, or sets of therein.
Okay.
One is controversial. It depends who you ask whether it's a good gaming peripheral or not. But the first one I'm going to mention, I think is widely accepted as a pretty awesome gaming peripheral, is the Rock Band era type of yes. plastic guitars, drums. What else came out with that? The microphone.
Teaching people that they can think they can sing.
Oh, karaoke.
Hmm.
At least, the balance board. That's another thing. Teaching people that they think they can, that they're fit. Well, actually, it did.
No.
We never told you were fit, no matter how fit you were.
Yeah, it went by the BMI index for that.
Yeah, which is terrible.
And it's a terrible measurement for that. Like, if you've got any sort of muscle, it categorizes you as overweight.
Mm-hmm. There was pending lawsuits because there were kids getting depressed because it's like, the Wii said I'm fat, Mom.
Mm.
It's like bad, but yes, but definitely though, the guitars and the drums, that thing was awesome. Yes. So many great parties happened with
that. I remember when Poomer got that first, we were over his back in that tiny little apartment that he used to have.
Yep.
Tappity tap 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 tap.
I'm playing music.
Some people, you watch some people play on those drums and they're actually really good.
Oh, and you could tell the ones because they actually had rhythm and it wasn't like random tapping.
It wasn't.
Yeah, I remember when you learned to do like that drum finish there, and it was cool. It was a flourish.
Oh, the just kind of wail on the drums.
Mm.
It was a good little system, and there was one that followed it that didn't get much fanfare, but the reviews on it are pretty good, and it was DJ Hero. So you had a scratch table.
Yeah.
People said it was really fun. I mean, it looked lame. I think it did.
Yeah,
but
it does. Yeah, very much.
Well, look at Rocksmith, because that is one actually you bought, too.
Yes, I have Rocksmith, so... Rocksmith is different, though.
Oh,
it doesn't
completely.
Really use a gaming peripheral. It uses a real guitar. Mm-hmm. So you have to have a real electric guitar and plug it in.
But it actually teaches you how to play.
It teaches you how to play in the course of... And since I had two kids, the electric guitar has gone in a bag and hasn't come out in like 2 years. But
I'm sorry, you're never going to be a rock star now.
Oh, shoots, my dreams have been dashed.
Maybe a roadie.
A roadie, yeah.
If you're lucky.
You can be a roadie.
If you're lucky.
Well, I suppose you can kind of call it a gaming peripheral because the peripheral would be the little auto-tuner box that you plug in.
Auto-tune, something totally different.
Well, it's not really an auto-tune, sorry. It's
I know what you mean.
It's a digitizer box that you plug into your guitar so that it can read in and see if you're getting the right notes or not.
Yeah.
The problem with that game is if your guitar's out of tune at all, you cannot score a single point.
It'll teach you to tune your guitar. That's the intro.
Well, actually, before each song or each set in the game, it takes you through a tuning.
Oh, that's cool.
So it has you hit each string, and then it'll tell you if you're in tune or not. And it'll tune it for any scale you want, and it'll tell you where to put a capo if you need to have one of those on for
What's
the song.
What's a capo?
A capo is one of those, think of it as a giant paper clip you put on your strings to change the sound.
You musicians and your fancy lingo.
Mm.
Yeah. So, and one thing that personally for myself, I never got into, granted I never tried it, just didn't seem like my cup of tea. It was more so in the arcades, but I made it at home too, which was the DDR mats.
Ah,
that changed gaming so much that there's even a lot of schools have put that in their PE programs.
I can understand why.
Mm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because kids because kids now are actually lining up, be like, I want to play, it's my turn. And they've actually lost quite a bit of weight. And they're having like big competitions because other schools and
I don't know. The home versions of those tend not to work as well,
but the arcade machines are fantastic.
Well, it's if you have carpet, I know like those types of peripherals when like for the older systems, like I think there was one for Sega, wasn't dancing per se. It was like
every console had
around.
Some kind of mat like that. Even the NES had a track and field mat.
Yeah, but it was like a piece of plastic. That if you laid on a carpet, if you had any sort of depth to the pile on the carpet, it would just sort of crinkle up and
right.
Think about putting a piece of paper on a thick treaded carpet and running up and down on it. It really didn't work.
It just crumples.
And then it would slide and you'd fall over.
It'd probably have a hard time.
Who were using it.
The accuracy would probably fall off too on that.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I think the newer DDR stuff, like you can get the kind of premium accessories that it's actually like a hard surface.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually dance on it without it moving around too much.
Have you guys ever played MechWarrior?
Oh,
yes,
I know the one you mean already.
The big console with the 100 buttons on it. I think it was a 40-button controller.
I've only seen it online, but I've heard it was amazing once you actually learn what the, you know, what every single button was.
Some of the interesting, I played this once, and it was back when I had the projector set up in my old apartment. Remember that?
I do.
A friend brought over his console set it up right
that
in front
would be
of
awesome.
It. Completely immersive experience, especially if you've had a few to drink, I'm just saying. But we did that one evening. A few interesting things about it. When the eject button lights up, you have a certain amount of time to hit it. If you don't hit it, you lose all your saved games.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds serious. Like a bug.
That's
it's
not
a feature.
A bug. That's a feature.
Oh.
That's if you don't hit it, you're dead and you can't restore your save game.
I have you beat. There was a place in Montreal called Virtual World, mm-hmm. and they had a full setup of battle tech simulators. So it was like a pod that you got into that was the cockpit of the mech with like full 3D thing with like a targeting display and buttons up on top and on the bottom. And
that sounds awesome.
You could control the feet separately from the top and you had missiles and at the higher difficulty levels, your ammo pouches could catch fire and you got to type in a code next to you and then eject the ammo cartridges. And it was like the coolest thing ever.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would love to have one of those.
I think you can buy them now separately. I don't think it's in service anymore. But it was called Virtual World.
Virtual World?
Yeah.
Let me just make a note here so I can put it into the show notes that this Virtual World thing. If I can find my paper here.
Yeah. In the meantime, something else kind of controversial. Some people loved it. Other people were just like, why'd you get that? The Game Genie.
Oh, the Game Genie.
Completely, you know, a Game Genie.
If you weren't careful.
There was another one, the Active something. Anyways,
it was just a Game Genie ripoff, though.
It was the Production Replay, which is Game Genie knockoff. Game Shark down the road. I did have the Game Shark on the PS1. And yes, I'm a dirty, dirty, rotten cheater. However,
we should explain what it is.
In early days, yes. Okay, go ahead.
Well, for the ones of you who are young or at a you know, because we're getting on in age, the Game Genie, back in our day, we had games on cartridges, which means they were stored on a circuit board and they actually plugged in and became part of the system. The Game Genie sat between the game cartridge and the console and allowed modification of the data as it passed through from one to the other. So you could do things like
infinite lives. Walk through walls, skip any level, get that kind of power up you wanted.
So think of
again,
it as a cheat
commercial.
On the PC.
It was awesome.
It was cheat codes.
And you had a huge book to go through.
Right.
If your game was not in that book, you better grab a copy of like Nintendo Power or GamePro magazine. That's right, magazines, and hope that they got some kind of new codes in there for you. Because there was no internet. You can look it up.
Yeah, and
there used to be a Nintendo hotline that you could call to get cheat codes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Watch the Wizard.
I kind of miss Nintendo Power. That was almost a peripheral in itself. It was always this guide that you got in the mail, and you could show full-on maps of different levels and stuff like that. So you could, if you were a completionist, you could go after all the content of a game.
And they just stopped printing a couple years back, actually.
Yeah. Did they go online, or did they go off completely? Are they gone?
I don't remember.
Hmm. Anyway, because everything is online now, you can go to IGN and all these other places
exactly.
and get user-submitted content. So it's just, you know, it's practically free now. So there's no point in doing that, you know, modern digital age and everything like that. There is one more that I wanted to mention. I can't remember what it is. So if you guys wanted to mention one more, we got about a minute left before we're going to go for our first break.
Absolutely. One that I'm surprised that all of us didn't say earlier is the controller.
The what?
The
controller itself.
Oh,
idea that there is a gamepad in your hand that you're actually playing with, that actually works properly.
There's the evolution of the controller, I think, which peaked at the DualShock. I think that's where the really standardized gamers got what they finally wanted. But back in the day, I mean, before my day, they were terrible.
Yeah.
They were like keypads.
Some of them. The Pong one was like a little, almost like a TV remote with a wheel.
Or the dial.
Yeah. And you go up
Except
and down.
That's not really a console remote because Pong just did Pong. So you could tailor the controller to just do Pong. Everything else
Actually, the little Atari ones, there was little inserts that you actually put in the controller itself and they would because there's a keypad on it, right?
Yeah. So you had
so that yeah. So
we're not talking about the original Pongs didn't have
the original
that,
Pong. The original Pong console game was just Pong.
Yeah.
It didn't play or do anything else. So it had a wheel, and that was it to move the paddle up and down.
So was a Pong originally on one of the old Ataris though? No. Or is it its own standalone console?
The Pong was just, it was a box that played Pong, and that's nothing else. There's no cartridges, there's nothing like that. The real challenge came later on when they said, hey, we need to design a controller that can be universally used for any game that you can come up with.
Okay.
And the DualShock, I think, although DualShock still really meant for the FPS.
Everybody has their own preferences.
Yeah.
So.
All right. I think it's almost time for our first break. It is time for our first break, actually. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about the terrible, horrible atrocities.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, the stuff you want to hear.
You're listening to Epic, now with more Overused Radio Effects. We will return after these messages.
Long, like mother's arms, reaching for these four black tires, and through the night, our knuckles tight, knock off miles and yellow lines. Fastest wind, and we make it. We make it. And we make it. And we still